Oh, if you missed the first hour, you missed like the best first hour of the show in 23 years.
Ever.
Sorry, we have totally peaked.
What are we going to do for the next 3 hours?
Dead air.
Oh, wow.
I vote for dead air.
Ooh.
I'm like Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. Hey, you want to release some of those documents that have to do with Epstein? Nah, we're going to release dead air.
Let's just go on recess.
Sounds like this. That's the sound of dead air. Leaving the congressional chamber.
Mm-hmm.
All right, good morning. It is 7:07. And you're tuned to the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Yes, the first hour was action-packed, compelling, and clever. You don't have to miss any of the Bob Rose Show. You simply download the Bob Rose Show podcast, which costs zero zilch, nada. You go to wherever you normally download your podcasts, like Spotify, even iHeart Radio. It's on there. Yeah. We muscled our way in there, too. Yeah,
we're everywhere.
So we're everywhere. And you just click on subscribe, and you'll never miss a minute of the show. Like that last hour. Craig, was that good or what?
It was absolutely amazing.
We nailed it.
It was.
Let's spend this hour talking about
how good last hour was.
Last hour, we didn't talk about this, but it was in the news.
Yep.
It'll continue to be in the news. Apparently, Iran is not giving up on their little nuke fetish. Yeah,
oh.
They're all obsessed. It's we love this nuclear stuff. Yeah, no, seriously, they're going to build back their program. I mean, they're saying it straight up, which I can appreciate that, you know? No, we're not going to do it. We're going to do it secretly. No, they're going to do it. To which I say, just like the Field of Dreams,
yeah.
Go ahead, Iran. If you build it, we will come.
Oh,
how you like that, huh?
I like it.
Huh?
And we
if you build it,
yep.
We will come.
And we will with bombs.
Okay.
Again.
I just thought that was another clever thing. I had to
Yeah, except you're probably stepping on somebody's copyright toes.
Iran, if you build it, we will come and destroy it.
Yes.
Malcolm Jamal Warner.
Mm-hmm.
Cosby Show. Remember him? He was a kid.
Great actor.
Everybody
actually.
Liked him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was
great
very likable character,
mm-hmm.
and did a great job. In fact, got an Emmy nomination, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was he Theo? Theo yep. Huxtable.
Yeah.
He died. He's 54 years old.
Oh, too young.
Don't die on vacation. That is so stupid. Mm. You know?
That's awful.
I tried to die right here in the workplace, man. I was working on a workman's comp deal.
Half hour before the show was over, no less.
Yeah, the show has me so stressed out.
You tried, yeah.
So, yeah, that workman's comp thing going on. I was scamming. I had a 20-pound, necklace on, and I said, MRI me immediately.
Uh-huh.
That's a different scam.
Yep.
Not a scan. Was it a scan or a scam?
Big difference.
See what I did there? You got to give me points for all this stuff. Are you keeping score?
I am, actually.
The ratings period's over, so
yeah.
I don't know why I'm working so hard.
I'm so sad about it. 54 is just, that's young,
Stay out the water. Stay out the water.
Yeah.
He drowned, I guess.
Yeah, that's what they said.
You know, at first, if there's a controversy.
Yeah.
Okay. Foreign land, and then Costa Rica.
Yeah.
And then you, his person that handles all his, PR and all that.
Uh-huh.
Was not going along with it when they said that he died. He says, I'm not ready to, release that statement yet. It was kind of odd. This happened for a period of a couple hours yesterday.
Well, he did or didn't. I mean, unless you're just trying to get your press release together with the way
I
you
guess.
Want it to be.
Yeah. But they reached out for confirmation.
Sure.
And he said, no, I'm not saying that he is, dead. I'm not corroborating that, at least initially.
That is odd.
It was kind of odd.
Yeah.
Malcolm Jamal Warner, the actor, beloved for his big break role, Theo Huxtable on The Cosby Show from 84 to 92. I mean, a lot of people grew up watching that show. They had a huge audience, too.
Oh, my goodness.
This was probably this was leaving an era where we as, Americans mostly, but we as Americans have these common threads.
Mm-hmm.
And when you only had, four or five channels.
Sure.
there was a lot of commonality. You could refer to the Cosby Show, and everybody would know exactly what you're talking about.
Yes, because everybody watched it.
And Seinfeld was another great indicator of that. It even changed, like, you know, colloquial terms, and you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
No soup for you. I mean, who doesn't know that line?
Soup Nazi, absolutely.
So, yeah, he was part of a show where now, because everything is so scattered, all the media, all the entertainment, all these things, it can be overwhelming in a way. So we're not going to have as many shared experiences as we used to. So this is part of an era, I think. TMZ was the first to report the news of his passing. People magazine reported that Warner was vacationing with family in Costa Rica and drowned while swimming. ABC News reported that he drowned off the coast of Costa Rica on Sunday. Costa Rican National Police told the outlet his body was found on Sunday afternoon, and police said his official cause of death was asphyxia. Yep. So, wow. You know, rest in peace, of course, you know, awful for the family. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm assuming that, he left survived by a wife and a daughter. I'm assuming they were probably on vacation with him. And to witness that and see that and 54. And you got money in the bank. I'm pretty sure that he was, you know, that's an era where they were smart enough to start getting some residuals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he was probably getting a nice fat check in the mail. And he was still busy. He was still working.
Sure.
But that's it's sad.
Well, he was part of Americana in a sense of just the way that show was a part of Americana, and he was there for it. So
I think that, yes, to show a family that was like any other family in America that just happened to be black, that was the beauty of the show.
You didn't think, oh, they're a black family.
Or it's a black show.
They're just
it never dawned on you.
They're a family.
Now, there might be some people who have had a different upbringing and go, oh, yeah, man, they're so, you know, fake and
rich.
You know, there's nobody like that.
Right.
Well, it's not true. I mean, there is a lot of people like that.
Well, the things that they related to in the show didn't have...
were universal.
You didn't have to be a doctor's family to understand the things that were going on.
Right.
You know. So, kids growing up, financial, all that.
Former Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel. Do you remember him? Do you remember him?
Yes. And a couple of things come to mind. One, the phrase he made famous.
Oh, yeah. Never let a good crisis go to waste. And I mean, that is Rahm Emanuel.
That is Rahm Emanuel. And then the time that I was on a radio trip to Chicago, and I get in the cab from the airport. And I'm sitting there, and in front of me is this sign, welcoming me to Chicago. And I read the little thing, Rahm Emanuel. I'm like, and I was going to enjoy this trip. And that's the first thing I see is his name.
Well, look, he was – that statement that he made, they really did live by that. Never let a good crisis go to waste. And that helped us to connect the dots on a lot of things through the years since he said that back when he was, what, chief of staff for the first Obama administration? So he's back in the news again by going against, not leading the Democratic Party, really kind of going against them. Hmm. Yeah, he had an interview on Megyn Kelly's podcast. Emanuel, who served a United States ambassador to Japan under Biden, admitted that, are you ready for this? This is a shocking statement coming from a Democrat.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Boys and girls are fundamentally physically different.
What?
What?
They're going to kick him out. He can't be a Democrat and say that.
And then it really got crazy when Megyn Kelly asked him straight up, can a man become a woman?
Yeah.
She didn't ask him to define a woman, thank goodness.
Oh, good.
Because you could be a Supreme Court justice and not know how to do that. However, can a man become a woman? He repeated the question. No. No. Wow.
That is shocking.
And he even joked about it. He said, now I'll be going into a witness protection program.
Yeah.
So he knows.
He knows.
Uh-oh, stepping on some toes.
Bugging the left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, that whole thing with the gender thing, it was definitely has turned into their own political crisis. Mm-hmm. 7:16 on the Bob Rose Show. What's Bugging You is up next. Chance for you to call in, air it out, get it off your chest. And it's brought to you by Florida Pest Control. The only bugs they can't control are litter bugs. Ready? 877 975-9825. Call in now for What's Bugging You on 97.3 The Sky. All right, it is your turn to weigh in, to air it out, to get it off your chest if you need to. And if you do, you should. So call in now for What's Bugging You, brought to you by Florida Pest Control. The only bugs they can't control are litter bugs, and definitely you don't want to be one of those. All right, you ready? Call in now. Don't be shy. 877-975-9825. It is time for What's Bugging You. It is 722 right now. Happy Tuesday. Let's go to Duda, man. What's bugging you?
Yeah. Since the fall of Assad in Syria, this guy that took over, he shaved his beard and put on a suit and called himself a moderate. Well, there's a genocide going on in southwestern Syria right now where the Jews and the Christians are being wiped out. And they need to put out some fatwa where you can take it. Sex slaves, so the people are flocking to that area, the bad guys. It's not being reported. There's 11,000 UN troops in Damascus, and they're doing nothing. Well, you know, I agree with Trump. We shouldn't be involved in foreign entanglements, but this is a travesty, what's going on. And if you want to really know anything about it, go to TUSITV, TOUSITV. Because there's a genocide going on right now, and it's not being addressed.
All right. I don't know what you're doing with your phone, man, but it is like feeding back. Is that a speakerphone?
Probably speakerphone.
Come on, man. Please don't do that. Not just you. I'm not picking on you. Just the speakerphone didn't work for this.
Yeah. No, they don't work. They don't work.
But and I didn't want to lose you because you were talking about some valuable information, southwest Syria and a genocide going on. What a mess that place has been for a while now, right? Good morning, Lisa. What's bugging you?
Good morning. I don't know if it's really a bugging me thing, but it's that cottage cheese comment you made earlier. I can understand the texture issue, but you can't eat cottage cheese alone. You got to eat it with fruit, and it's real good with, like, the pieces of chunk pineapple. Total difference in what cottage cheese will taste like. So try it with fruit next time. That's all. You guys have a good day.
You know, the one and only time which I actually didn't completely not like it, yeah. I believe it was mixed with pineapple.
Right.
And I love me some pineapple.
Oh, yeah.
So thanks for the tip.
Yeah.
And if you like cheese, stand by. I'll explain at the end of this segment. Good morning, Mercedes. What's bugging you?
Good morning. Great show. Two things. So President Trump should be going to New York and doing a rally to get the Republican vote ready to go. And this guy that's running, the socialist, Mondavi or whatever the heck his name is, all the liberal who is going to support him, they should be giving up their property first. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah.
Sell that house right now. Divide it up. How many people could, you know, or subdivide the inside of the house, make
sure.
It apartments?
Well, just make some room.
What's bugging you? 877-975-9825. Call in now. And good morning, Mark. What's bugging you?
Hey, good morning, Bob McGregor. I do the pineapple with cottage cheese all the time myself, too. But what's bugging me is, although Thomas Homan and Immigrations and Customs Enforcement have done an excellent job cleaning up the Home Depots of the nation, I think it's time for him to turn his attention to the hotels, because although I speak fluent Braille, I'm tired of requiring a translator when I stay at any hotel pretty much anywhere in America besides the front desk. Thanks, guys.
That's interesting. You know, I take notice of things like that, and I have to say that actually over the last couple of years, I've encountered more fairly fluent English speakers in hotels.
Interesting, yeah.
Yeah. That's because I only talk to the hookers, but that's another story. 877-975-9825. Call in now, and good morning, Tony. What's bugging you?
Good morning. Our nation is a republic. We're governed by laws. Barack Obama and his minions did treasonous acts to this country. If he's not brought to justice, our republic will be gone, because that means our laws are null and void. The most serious thing that has happened to this country is a sitting president conducted intelligence operations with other nations against a coming president. This is a very grave matter. This is above everything else. And if, Bob, if we don't see this come to justice, then our republic has fallen. Thank you.
I think you're exactly right. I really do. And a lot of this will have to do with the intelligence community as well. We'll dig into that coming up in a little bit. Brian, what's bugging you?
Hey, what's bugging me is the city of Gainesville spending over $500,000 for 78 trash cans. It's like, come on, really? Yeah.
But they're smart trash cans. Oh, they tell you when they're full. Oh, seriously. Yeah. I know. It's another joke coming out of Gainesville.
Mm-hmm.
Nikki, good morning. What's bugging you?
Hi, good morning. What's bugging me? I'm on touch base back with the guy that just talked about the hotel workers. I don't speak fluent Spanish or any Spanish, and I'm not going to, because English is my American language. But what's bugging me is the local stores managers that speak Spanish, and you're trying to ask them for something and you can't communicate with them. That's bugging me.
Yeah, that can be absolutely a real problem. Yeah. 728 on the Bob Rose Show. Thanks for participation. What's bugging you? Brought to you by Florida Pest Control. Hey, coming up next, the story of feta. It's not just for your Greek salad anymore. News Talk 97.3 The Sky. It's another great day. Take advantage of it. Appreciate it. 7:35 right now on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Feta. It's not just for your Greek salad anymore.
What?
I know. I'm playing a little, you know, loose with the pronunciation here.
Oh, that guy.
You're going to hear his name more and more. He's a Minnesota State Senator, and he's running for mayor in Minneapolis. And he's very similar to that Mom Donnie that's running in New York.
Oh, see, he's a commie. Smelly commie.
Kind of.
Okay.
Feta. They're calling it the feta frenzy.
Oh, my.
Greek salad for everyone. Hmm. Now, Minnesota State Senator Omar Feta, a self-declared democratic socialist, yep, there you go,
see?
Now running for mayor of Minneapolis, opened his campaign office to support George Floyd rioters and called for banning tear gas and rubber bullets, returned thousands in campaign cash tied to one of the nation's largest fraud schemes, and has pushed to compel Amazon to implement mandatory prayer breaks for Muslim workers. Wow. So he's a busy, busy bee. In a previous role as Minnesota community specialist, see, Republicans don't have stuff like that. They don't have community organizers.
Mm.
Maybe they need to get with it.
That could be.
I guess that would be us, Greg.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, we'll go.
So when he was a community specialist, Feta cited involvement in efforts to pressure Amazon to allow East African Muslim employees time off during the workday for prayer. What we know is that large corporations are going to take advantage of folks, especially if they're not well-versed on their rights. Feta is the first Somali-American in the Minnesota Senate, has also expressed disdain for the term progressive, arguing it's not far left enough. Enough. Not far left enough. You got to remember that. He prefers the label democratic socialist, stating that what bothered me about the term progressive is that it has shifted from having a meaning to being a spectrum. We're progressive candidates don't have to support housing, education, healthcare as rights. And this is important. Housing, education, and healthcare as rights. You have the right to housing. If you can't afford it, the government needs to provide it, right? That's what he's saying. You have a right to free education. He's talking about schools of higher learning, too. Okay? And healthcare as a right. You know, not a commodity. It should be, you know, instituted by the government, right? Okay. And he talks about progressive candidates. They're not left enough, and they don't necessarily support the things he wants, like the socialization of housing, education, health care. And they also, they take money from corporate and they take oil money. He added that democratic socialism is about those convictions, about what everyone deserves. Everyone deserves those rights. It's a yes or no question. Okay. Huh. So these rights, I don't know, is the rights really, weren't they contained in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights? Didn't the Bill of Rights kind of covered
not a coincidence.
Lot of that?
Yeah.
You know, you've got your free speech, free assembly, things like that. You've got the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms. And, so now he's saying, oh, no, you have the right to housing. Again, didn't see that constitutionally. Yeah. How if you cannot afford housing, it will be provided by the government for you.
Now,
if you're talking about people who simply are not capable, yes, we need to take care of the people in our communities and in our country that can't necessarily take care of themselves. I'm a big advocate for that. But able-bodied people, as the term goes, are able to work and should. And then the whole healthcare thing, that gets complicated. I mean, do you want people to go to medical school and do you want them to go to school to become, you know, nurses and doctors? Because if you take the monetary equation out of it, what do you think's going to happen? Well, it happened in England. They basically, all the doctors come from India, and the smart, for lack of a better term, you know, the smart British kids, go into like engineering and other things. Maybe they say, why would I waste all that time and energy to go into medicine to, you know, not really make a, you know, a fat paycheck, quite frankly. So, you know, it's easy to say, yeah, we want this for everybody, we want that for everybody. But, I mean, that's not really America. That is socialism. And the more the government gets entrenched in all these things, remember, government doesn't really necessarily do great stuff. They're not always good stewards of our tax dollars. How far do you need to look at some of the Doge stuff that they uncovered to have that realization? You don't think that there would be even more waste and fraud? Come on. So this guy, Fatah, during the George Floyd riots in 2020, he opened his campaign office in South Minneapolis as a hub for protesters, providing food, water, and first aid as nearby buildings burned. Yeah, he was providing water, not to put out the fire, to quench the thirst of fire starters. All right, good work. We paused the campaign because my campaign office was on Lake Street and Park Avenue, where a lot of rioting and fires were. The gas station right next to my office was burned to the ground. We opened my office overnight for protesters to come by, administer first aid, provide food and water to the people. He also called for banning the use of tear gas and rubber bullets by law enforcement, describing such crowd control measures as wartime weapons. Really? Wartime weapons, huh?
Okay.
I wonder, just go into your local VFW and ask them about these wartime weapons of rubber bullets. Ask them how many they saw their friends succumb to wounds from rubber bullets. I think they're going to say zero.
Yeah.
They're worried about this crazy idea of real bullets. Yeah. And the use of tear gas. I mean, this squashes crowds, makes them go away. It makes you choke. You're uncomfortable. Your eyes water heavily. It's not a comfortable feeling at all. But it's not going to have any lasting effect.
It's much harder to punch out cops when you've got, you know, you're worrying about seeing and smelling through your nose.
And before they, you know, they don't just like roll up and start unloading canisters of tear gas.
No.
You'll have plenty of warning. Crowd disperse.
Yep.
Crowd disperse.
Exactly.
Crowd disperse. Woo, 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 woo. It's not that hard.
No, it's not.
And if they don't disperse, then you have to have the next level.
Encouragement.
And he sat there and watched
Unreal.
His city around him burned down, and he was worried about taking care of the protesters?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. In 2022, Fetah's campaign accepted $11,000 in donations from individuals tied to the now infamous Feeding Our Future scandal, a scheme that defrauded federal food programs of millions meant to feed low-income children. Seven of Fetah's donors were directly named in FBI search warrants, while others listed addresses and employers linked to the fraud. After public exposure, Fetah returned the money and insisted he was unaware of the allegations until the warrants became public. One of the ringleaders of the scam, Yassin Alashir, donated to Fetah's campaign and appeared in photos with him. Alashir later pleaded guilty to wire fraud and money laundering after falsely reporting that he served 870,000 meals and fraudulently obtained $2.4 million in federal food aid funds, keeping $714,000 for himself. Wow, that's profitable. He used the money to purchase a resort and apartment in Kenya. Okay. A Ford F-150 and a boat, and paid over $200,000 in kickbacks to a Feeding Our Future employee. A judge released Alashir despite prosecutors' warning that he was a flight risk. At least three of the indicted participants had already fled the country. So, let's see. He's got a resort and an apartment in Kenya. And he's still got cash.
Okay.
And you don't keep him locked up.
Okay.
If you had an apartment in a foreign country,
yeah,
I think that automatically would make you a possible flight risk, right? Anyway, the guy's had some scandal around him, some issues around him, but really the biggest thing is his ideology. It's not congruent with our American system. It's pretty simple. But that doesn't mean he won't get elected to be the next mayor of Minneapolis. Good luck.
Yep.
Good luck to the good people that are there.
Absolutely.
7:45 right now on The Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. The Bob Rose Show podcast available wherever you normally download your podcast. Click on subscribe. You'll never miss a minute of the show. Happy Trash Talking Tuesday from Florence Recycling. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky. All righty. It's another awesome day. Let's keep it that way, huh? In other words, don't blank it up, Hunter.
Oh, my goodness.
7:50 on the Bob Rose Show. 10 minutes till 8 o'clock. Greg Cassidy is here. Yeah, Hunter just cussing like a madman on a podcast, which you can do that. But for anybody else, you know, to hear it or in news reports and stuff, it's bleepity bleep bleep bleep. And, man, he was taking no prisoners.
Yeah.
He was even ripping on George Clooney. You can't be a Democrat and rip on George Clooney.
It was like a
rule.
Oh, he's my royalty. You know?
Goodness. Yeah. And we'll get into more of that. Oh, well, let's get into it right now. So one of the things that came out of this interview with Hunter Biden, which, again, he pretty much cussed out everybody, and he was also looking out for the old man. He was trying to protect his pop's legacy. I get that. You're his kid.
Yeah.
And I also think that maybe he's trying to salvage some way to kind of get the Biden business, maybe it'll never be back on track per se, but you know, I don't think it's beneath him to maybe pick up a few crumbs here and there, try to get something going, trying to say that he is some sort of an influencing factor.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. It looks a tad bit desperate, but there we go. But one of the things he did say is the old man was on Ambien when he was supposed to be doing a presidential debate. Now, the way that he positioned it, he said he flew around the world basically, you know, and the mileage, he could have flown around the world three times. He's 81 years old. He's tired as blank. They give him Ambien to be able to sleep. He gets up on the stage. He looks like a deer in the headlights. Well, what is he saying? Is he saying that he took the Ambien or somebody gave him the Ambien shortly before going on stage? I mean, haven't we all heard the thing? You must be able to get at least 8 hours of sleep if you're going to take Ambien. Well, the fact that we didn't know it beforehand, even though the doctor had been public about trying to say what Biden was on, what he was taking, the fact is we did not know that the president of the United States was on Ambien. This is his interviewer on the podcast. Mm-hmm. He said, I would also imagine it's very difficult to do the proverbial 3 a.m. phone call crisis when you are on Ambien in the middle of the night. Well, here's the thing I know about Ambien, because I've been taking it for years now. I have not had side effects other than you can take that 3 a.m. call. The problem? Yes. You won't remember a word of it.
I know people that have shared experiences of people, of friends driving, accepting packages at their front door, all kinds of things, and there is no memory of it whatsoever.
Yeah, you've got to really, I mean, when they say, you know, take it when you're right there at your bed and go to bed, even though you feel like you might not be that sleepy yet.
Uh-huh.
Because things happen between then and when it kicks in enough to knock you out.
Yeah.
So you just need to be aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
And the podcaster, he says, I think it's really striking. We haven't heard from the doctor, but the fact that the president's own son said the president was on Ambien is a telling new detail about the president's abilities at the time. Well, yes, it is.
I don't think this helps.
Well, and
in a sense.
And his doctor had every opportunity to speak in front of was it a congressional panel or whatever?
Uh-huh.
And he pleaded the fifth on every question.
Yeah.
It would be interesting to know. What did they have him on?
Oh.
And it might have been Hunter that had said this at some point. I thought he had mentioned Adderall as a stimulant to hopefully, you know, stimulate articulation and full sentences. I don't know.
Well, I don't think it's a drug good enough for that.
Yeah, it's a good drug. It's not that good.
Yeah,
it is. I don't know. It's shameful, really. You think about this guy, but I gotta say, I mean, if the Democrats are looking for somebody who's authentic, and in case you haven't heard it, that's their new catchphrase now.
Authentic.
That's how they're talking about Mamdani.
Oh, my goodness.
Forget that he's a socialist, radical, Muslim nutbag. Forget all that.
Yeah.
And just focus on the fact that, look, this guy is authentic. What does that mean, he's authentic?
Well, when
to me, it means he really is a socialist. He really is far left of center.
Yeah.
He really is radical.
Because he's telling you he is.
Yeah. And so I guess, you know, authenticity in that case, I mean, I guess it's still a good thing.
Does it override being a radical socialist?
We don't care what he is, as long as he's authentic.
See, that's the problem with
this
mentality.
You know, I was a mass murderer back in the day, and why?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that guy's very authentic. He admitted, that he, you know, brutally murdered a lot of people. You know, that's what we're looking for, somebody who's honest like that, you know?
Right.
Yeah, it's bizarre. But if you want authenticity, does it get any more authentic than Hunter cussing everyone out, trying to protect his father's legacy? I mean, if you're looking for somebody who's authentic, and they say, apparently, the Democrats do. They really say that, like, cussing is part of it.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, is he going to run for office?
Mm.
Hey, look, don't put it past him. Why would you? Okay, the guy's had a problem with, you know, crack and hookers and, you know, other substances and guns and whatever. But from an ideological standpoint, he is like his old man. He, on a stage full of radicals, he could appear somewhat normal.
And look what that got us.
There you go. I'm just here to scare everyone. No.
It's working.
7:56 on the Bob Rose Show. Plenty more to talk about. More headlines coming your way on 97.3 The Sky.